What's up, everyone? Welcome to the Sports Jedi Network, along with Chris the Sports Flash, BX Sports Jedi, Bronx Bomber Strike Back Podcast. Chris, happy holidays. First and foremost, how are you, buddy?
Happy holidays, Kev. I'm doing, I'm under the weather, but I'm going to push through it on the screen. How everybody doing in the chat?
All right. Let's go to the words of Cody Rose. So what do you want to talk about? The big one. Finally, we get an answer with Yamamoto goes to Hollywood. So Yamamoto decides to take the Dodgers. Like, listen, I hope Yamamoto enjoyed the cuisines that he had at Steve Cohen's house. The meal that the Yankees offered him twice, because he met with the Yankees twice. Steve Cohen flew and made him waste a lot of money in jet fuel heading out there to Japan. This guy had no intentions of coming to the East Coast. And to me, it's Festivus. He aired out his grievances and he sided with the Dodgers at the end of the day. I'm not going to sit here to take a victory lap, but you know it, Chris. I've been telling you that. I wasn't a fan. I didn't like a guy who's 5'9", who pitches every 6 days. And the baseball is a different baseball. It's a smaller ball. If you look at his, I know he's the equivalent of the Cy Young Award. The one thing I give credit to Yamamoto, he's 25 years old. I said if the Yankees were, me personally, I was okay with it. If they signed him as a free agent, I wouldn't go past 7 years max. But 12 years, Chris, what's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, 12 years is a little bit steep. I'm surprised the Yankees went 10. I can't get mad at Brian Cashman and Hal for not getting a deal done, because like there was a post saying that he meant to his friends that he wanted to be a Dodger anyway. So I just feel like all the beat writers was wrong saying, oh, this and this and this. But apparently he played us just to get leverage for the Dodgers.
I mean, that's the part. That's the art of free agency, though. You have all these free agency. They meet with other teams. They want to get feel special. They want to get wine and dine. They want to feel appreciated by other clubs. They want to see how bad other clubs want them, their services, their talent, their skill set. I'm not going to get too mad with that, Chris. Because if you just got to make your due diligence and you have to make your decision, you have to make your dot your I's, cross your T's. When you make a contract, I understand that he has two opt-out clauses, but for the Dodgers to play $325 million for a player, again, who has not thrown a pitch in the major league level, and again, I don't think he's not going to be a terrible pitcher either. I'm not saying that he's going to be garbage. I'm not saying that he's going to be Kanagawa or Matsui Dasakaka. I call him Masukaka, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
You know me. I always try to be.
Yeah, I got
you. Yeah, I like to say Masukaka in Spanish. It's garbage. but I think he's going to be a good pitcher. I think he's going to be a good pitcher. But here's the thing where I'm excited that the Yankees dodged this bullet. It's a blessing in disguise. And I'll tell you why. I'm not crapping on or taking away from the Japanese league. But all the Japanese teams that are part of that make up that wonderful league, they don't have the advanced scouting or the finances to pay for these advanced scouts as the major league ball clubs. Yes, even the Athletics have really good scouts because they have to draft and they have to find these diamonds in the roughs all across the United States, all across the country, in Central South America, Central, the Caribbean, Central America, South America. They have to go find these players. And teams invest in their scouting, advanced scouting. Also, when you go to series to series on all MLB teams, these scouts are phenomenal. And I know how much we dislike analytics and all that, cyber matrix and all, but major league ball clubs have hell of scouts, Chris. You don't think they're going to figure out or make the adjustments on Yamamoto, and you know what? And again, doesn't mean he's going to get bombed. But it's up to him now to change his style of pitching. And if he's used to the Japan, it could be a culture shock, especially with the media, the way New York is. if you walk off the mount incorrect, they're booing you and they're coming down on you. Chris, what's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, you're right. It doesn't take long for the major league scouts to pick up, you know, what you're doing, what's your tendencies on certain pitches and stuff like that. But that's his job to figure that out and try to, you know, navigate to be like, okay, let me change this up. Let me change this sequence up, you know, stuff like that. But I think he's going to be straight. Like I said, I'm not going to be one of these fans poo-pooing what the Dodgers are doing, because we was doing that for years. Now it seemed like it's the Dodgers' turn now to spend money and get the best players. But that doesn't mean they're guaranteed a championship.
Oh, no, I agree with you there. And I want to put a little pushback on when people say, well, the Yankees used to do that as well. The Yankees, when they signed everyone they wanted to, they made sure they pay their person per year at that year. They're not going to say, well, I'm going to pay your salary on layaway plan for 25 years later. You know, we're going to extend it. You're going to give you $2 million now, but we're going to give you a layaway plan for later. You know, I owe you in the cookie jar. No, the Yankees, when they wanted a player, they wanted to pay them. They pay them right there, right at the moment. You're going to make $60 million. I'm being exaggerated, ladies and gentlemen. I understand that. You know, we're going to pay you this amount, Steinbrenner, George. We're going to pay you this much. We're going to pay you this now, this year, till the years you're here. And if you suck, you know what? Go away. I'll eat the money. Get out of my face. No, the Dodgers is deferring it for later down the road, just in case, in the cookie jar. I owe you. Typical Dumb and Dumber situation, by the way. Somebody's been watching Dumb and Dumber. But you know what? You can't hate the Dodgers for that. Because now that allowed them, not only that, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, the Dodgers spend so far $1.2 billion in free agency right now. $1.2 billion. You cannot say, I can't hate them for that because they're spending. But they have not won a championship since 88. I don't care what you tell me about that COVID. That's a COVID-ridden World Series. I'm not counting it. I'm sorry. That's okay. Everyone says you want to be like the Dodgers. I'm sorry. I'd rather take the Yankee franchise right now. I know people poo-poo or roll their eyes of the 30 years over 500, you know, since 1991, 92. They're always in the postseason. They're about to strike. You know what? And maybe call me a Yankee homer. I'd rather be the Yankees in this situation than the Dodgers. That's just me. I mean, what's your thoughts there? I mean, you could disagree.
I mean, look. I'm not certain stuff. I might disagree with you with the whole Yamamoto thing and everything, but this I'm not going to disagree with you about. Like, first of all, Tyler Glasnow can't stay healthy. That, like, everybody keeps saying he needs to change his name to Glasnow because he is a piece of glass just waiting to break. And then Ohtani can't stay healthy as a pitcher either. So, I mean, how long that's going to last? And just like every other Japanese pitcher, I mean, Yu Darvish, Ohtani, Tanaka. Well, Tanaka didn't get the surgery, but they usually start falling apart and they need Tommy John. So, I mean, technically, we haven't really spent any money this offseason.
No.
Now, like I told other people, I'm not mad that we didn't get on, you know, Yamamoto. But if we don't do nothing else, then yes, I'm going to get pissed. That's going to be the problem.
Well, you have to be smart. When the Yankee organization, and I got to give them credit. As much as I personally did not want Yamamoto when his name came up, because you know, I have a stereotype when it comes to the pitching from Japan, and I hate it because of the baseball. It's a smaller. I said it. I mentioned it earlier in the video, not to sound redundant or in circles. Here's the one thing that the Yankees right now, as we stand currently, a couple days before Christmas, their rotation is Nestor Cortez, Garrett Wright, Clark Schmidt, and Rodon. They're missing a number five, and actually they're going to need a number six starter if you wanted to go that route. If you look at the free agent pool, not a lot really to pick up or want to sign. that we're going to talk about what's next move here before we wrap up the Yamamoto situation and my feeling with the Yankees. I actually am surprised they actually went 10 years. They were giving him a higher annual per annual value, $30 million a year, more than what he's going to make with the Dodgers. The only difference is the Dodgers added two more years to the contract. He's going to have two opt-out. But here's the thing that no one's speaking about. There's also going to the Japanese club, $50 million posting fee that the Dodgers is sending to the Japanese club that he's coming from. So you're looking at $375 million for a guy who has not thrown a pitch in the major league at all. Don't know if the first year, if it's going to be a culture shock, you know, or he might just not adjust well.
Well, you forgot one more thing too, Kev.
Yeah. Good.
He got a $50 million signing bonus too.
Correct. So you're looking at $400 million. Now that's great for upcoming free agent pitchers because he just set a bar for agents to. That's why a lot of movement hasn't happened in Major League Baseball free agency because they were waiting for Shohei Ohtani to see what his number was. Who was going to buy it and who was going to offer for that money. And they wanted to see then Yamamoto. Now everything else is going to come into place. Now certain agents, certain pitchers know what they're going to ask. And by the way, I think 170 innings is what Shohei Ohtani gives you. I mean, we're comparing the numbers with Glasnow and actually Snell and Yamamoto. The numbers are almost the same. We go now, where did the Yankees pivot? Obviously, we know they still need to sign pitcher or make a trade. Let's go with the free agent route first. But before I go there, any final thoughts on the Yamamoto before we close that down? He's a Dodger. He's got two opt-outs. And, you know, so there's everyone saying, I don't think he's going to make it to the 12 years because he gets opt-out. Personally, if he pitches well and he's going to go above and beyond expectation, he will opt-out to make more money. That's my opinion, Chris. But if he fails or he struggles or he needs injury ridden, he's going to opt in. And they're going to have to pay him because he's not going to be foolish to opt out where there's guaranteed money sitting there on his table. So that's a slippery slope, Chris.
Yeah, and I hope he knows we do play them in June. So get ready, bro, because you about to get booed out the stadium.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's talk about the Mets real quick. Yes, we are Yankee fans. And yes, Chef Dan, my partner on the channel, is a Met fan. I'm gonna put on a little bit of a Met homer or a Met hat for now. Just, you know, forgive me. You know, let's pretend it's a Knick hat. As a matter of fact, here, I'm gonna put the visual. I'm gonna wear the Knick hat, but I'm gonna talk as a Met advocate. There we go. Chris,
well, same color.
Everyone gets upset with Steve Cohen that he should be blowing everyone out of the water with the offer. The guy flew to Japan. He showed the player that he wanted him on his franchise. That's one. I know Brian Cashman also went to Japan, saw him pitch the perfect game, wasn't allowed. He had scouts in all his starts. I get it. They showed love. You don't hear any Dodger, no Dodger love whatsoever. But again, money talks. That's why money talks, nonsense walks. As a Met, he hosted him in his house. Steve Cohen probably told him, this is what I want to offer you. The only difference is Steve Cohen, and he knows what he's doing. He must have perceived or felt that Yamamoto did not want to have no intentions to play on the East Coast or in New York, period. Because if you're in his house and you're having dinner and I know he's going to give him that offer, what do you want? And he didn't sign with the Mets right there and then. It showed when he left Cohen's home, he showed that he didn't want to play here. And then he met with the Yankees again to maybe see, you know, the Mets offer me this, and see if the Yankees will come up with it. He leveraged. He did smart move. You know what? I can't fault Steve Cohen because everyone's getting mad on Cohen. You know, oh, he came in here with these deep pockets. Last year, he signed the top two free agents. You know, he and I know they didn't work out in Verlander and Scherzer. I get it, but he did spend a lot of money for that team. for him, and Met fans are irate or bothered. They're not going to do nothing, but he has 300. He's already close to $298 million already invested. And granted, it's not a good team, but I mean, I don't, you know, as a Met fan, as a Met, for a Met advocate here, I don't know why the fans are getting so irate with him on there. You know, they wanted to get rid, you wanted Buck Showalter, the man got you Buck. You wanted him gone, they got him gone. That you wanted David Stern, he went and got David Stern. He got you everything that the Met fans want. The guy, the owner's trying to please the team, and yet the fan still wants to attack the owner. But he's trying to pay. He's not going to spend. He's, you know, that's just on the Mets thing with Steve Cohen. If you're the owner, do you think he did anything wrong, Steve Cohen? I mean, I know we're Yankee fans. Again, and those that are just tuning in and saying, why are they talking Mets when they got a Yankee shirt? It's just, I'm just want to see the all different side of the argument for this Yamamoto saga.
No, be honest with you, be happy he didn't offer 400. I mean, the way he was given on contract last year, like, that's why he hired a more competent GM to tell him, to talk him off the edge, like, dude, you can't give him this much money because you're gonna piss a lot of people off. So I feel like he did a good job. I mean, like you said, he probably figured out that Yamamoto didn't want to come to the East Coast or to any, you know, any of the two New York teams. And I'll say this, y'all so busy, y'all want Cohen to sign all these free agents, but y'all don't want to keep y'all dude Pete Alonso because he's looking for an extension. I'm just saying.
He's gonna get. I think Cohen's gonna keep him, but it isn't smart for him to extend them now. What the Mets are doing with him and is dangling the carrot. You know, the carrot in front of the horse or the donkey to move so they can move and get you going, and that's what the Mets are doing. And that's okay with that. There's nothing wrong. And it's a slippery slope though, Chris, because if someone else blows him out of the water or he feels slighted, then he'll leave. But at the end of the day, if it's the Bernie Williams situation, there was all that talk, he was going with Buck Showalter in Arizona. He was leaving. And then the Red Sox offered that. And then he asked George, listen, the Red Sox offered me this. And George matched that. And I think he added $1 more. Just for argument's sake, I don't have the story correct. So don't, you know.
Yeah.
But it was either the same amount as the Red Sox or more, just by a little bit, and he's still with the Yankees. I think Steve Cohen does the same thing with Pete Alonso. Because Steve Cohen gets it. He's an owner who gets it. He's a fan, but a fan who is intelligent with business wise. He's a hedge fund guy. He knows how to win. He knows how to make calculated risks. You know, he sees things that we don't, because if he didn't, he wouldn't be where he sits there as a billionaire. It would have been just with us, you know, doing a podcast, maybe. You know, I'm just being facetious. So I can't argue, get mad with the Mets. I can't get mad with the Yankees at all. The only thing I do say that I know he's going to get ridiculed for, while this negotiation has happened, he is out on a yacht in the Caribbean. That looks a little bit, because you never used to hear George, and I hate to say that. Well, George is somewhere, you know. And you know, last year he was in Italy when it was the Judge situation. That's a little worrisome to me, Chris, because he has a right to go on vacation. He's rich; he would go anytime. Absolutely, you are. You're correct, but there's a time and place, and man, it's, to me, it sounds tone deaf that you're in the middle of free agency on your franchise that just missed the postseason. And the fan base is going nuts. Your ticket sales are at 40%. You know, still haven't sold out. You still got 40% of your season tickets unavailable for the Yankees. Yes, you got us Juan Soto, but you there's a mission here to be done. There'll be plenty of time to go on vacation in January when there's nothing to do. By the way, the weather's nasty in New York. You know, and it just, that's the only negative that I'm gonna have here with how it just shows a little bit tone deaf not being around, and also. It makes sense now why they didn't do any press. You know, one thing I miss about the Yankees, I don't know, because it was COVID or what. When you get players like a Soto, Verdugo, can we have a press conference at Yankee Stadium introducing them, giving them the jerseys like we used to do so they could feel special? You know, they missed out here on making Juan Soto feel really warm and feel bienvenido, you know, welcome aboard. by giving him that jersey on that on a December day in Yankee Stadium, have him there, introduce him to the fan base, to not the fans, the media, and have the questionnaires with the people in the room, not someone. I mean, for this, we could just have him come on here and talk to Soto. That's what it felt like. It felt like a podcast instead of, you know, this, and the Yankees should be a little more and beyond. I don't know if it's because they did. Look what they did with Shohei Ohtani. They had a podium. They had the stadium, and they even had a lady underneath the podium, you know, on her knees for the guy. I mean, come on. They, you know, that's a Police Academy reference, if anyone remembers that movie. Again, Chris.
I think they will do the whole jersey thing. I think they're just waiting to see, because I think they want to do it all together. Like, and that's why I have an idea of, like, I think they're gonna get bigger names to go pair with Soto, and I think they're gonna do, like, you know how 09 they had CeCe and AJ together. I think that's what's gonna happen, because you can't. I'm sorry, COVID is gonna happen regardless. So I'm just gonna say this: NBA does it, NFL does it. So if the Yankees don't do the tradition where you introduce the player and they wear the, that's the best part. You get to wear the jersey, you know, like, you can't take that away from Soto. And I just think they, you know, that was happening because they were dealing with Yamamoto, and then Soto was, you know, in his hometown and stuff like that. So I think once everything gets together, I think they're going to have an actual press conference with the jersey.
That's why I set you up there. If I was a point guard, I would have got an assist there, setting you up on that with that question there, so you could give me that response. So, and we didn't talk about this. We just came on, and that was a perfect setup there for the next thing. Since they didn't do that press conference, that's why I brought that up with the Verdugo and Soto not seeing them in Yankee Stadium with the jersey. There's going to be way more moves, Yankee fans. There's going to be moves. It might not be the sexiest. It might not be the ones we want or you want, but they're going to make moves to upgrade and make this team better. And I know right now they already, like you said, Chris, they didn't spend $1 in free agency yet, but they already upgraded in positions of need in the outfield. You have an outfield of Verdugo. You have Judge. You have Stanton. Yes, Stanton. I'm counting on Stanton. As well as Soto. You know, you have Dominguez coming at the end of the year if he's not traded, coming up, and you still have players in the minor. You know, you got Gonzalez, and you have both Gonzalez's now. They signed another Gonzalez into the minor league system for depth in the outfield. The Yankees are making some moves here, but they're not complete. As we speak here on the 22nd of December, they're not a complete ball club. We know that they're going to go for more pitching. Now, how they're going to go for the pitching, we don't know. Do they see where they could sign a Blake Snell? A lot of folks are saying, please don't. No, thank you. Personally, I won't remind them passing on Snell. I really want to see Blake Snell. As a free agent pitcher out there, I wouldn't mind bringing Montas on a prove-it deal. That doesn't mean we stop there, Yankee fans. That's a fifth starter or a sixth, where you could put Clark Schmidt maybe in the bullpen. Let him and Montas and Schmidt fight for that last rotation in the spot. Any free agent pitcher that we see on the market here entices you for the Yankees to bring in?
Probably. I know you just said his name. But it all depends on the years. I wouldn't mind Blake Snell joining the Yankees. He's a lefty. You know, Yankees already talking about a super bullpen, so he doesn't go. You know, some games he probably go like 5 or 6 innings. So you know, if we got a super bullpen, it wouldn't matter, especially with Boone too. So it definitely wouldn't matter. I mean, he pitched in the AL East before, so. He's used to that. He's used to the big stage. He was actually mad at the coach for taking him out the World Series. So, I mean, I wouldn't have a problem. It's just the years. I'll sign him to like a 5-year deal, but anything past 5 years, I do not want to touch.
Now, you saw what Yamamoto got, 30 million or 27 million, excuse me. let's say 5 years at 25 per. 25 per. You think he'd go for it?
It depends. It depends on what teams are trying to, you know, get his services. I mean, everybody keeps saying he's a West Coast person. I'm telling you right now, he ain't going to the Dodgers. If he wants to lose, I guess he can go to the Angels. So the only team I can see like him going to is maybe his hometown in Seattle. But Seattle got enough pitching. So, I mean, who else? That's the only thing I'm thinking about. Who else will, you know, buy for his services? The Giants?
Because they got a lot of money. But they got a lot of money. They could overpay because they've been missing on a lot of free agents that, and they have the money. They have a lot of money where they need to bring people in, and they might just overpay for Snell to go there because they got to show their fan base. They got to bring someone in to break that ice. Yeah. Right now, the Giants. I'm glad you mentioned the Giants because they're like right now, like we're in a situation like a Mets. Where they got money, they got a rich owner, or they got money to spend, and teams and free agents or players for some reason are not pivoting to those teams. They're leaving them at the altar. So I'm glad you mentioned the Giants there. I could see the Giants, if they really want to, you know, change their narrative, they might overpay for a Snell. And I think that might be a good spot, landing spot for him, financially wise. But you know me, I like the lefties. You know I've said that with Jordan Montgomery. You know, I was very upset when he got traded away for Hader. I've mentioned it many times. I always say Yankee Stadiums, you need a good, strong left-handed pitching, especially to neutralize the short porch and use that long Death Valley in your stadium to an advantage when you want a big right-handed lineup against your lefty. That's why Pettit was very good. Guidry, you know, we said this before, countless of time on different podcasts. Here's the way I'm looking at pitching, Chris, and again, not to sound redundant with the Yamamoto thing. When I look at who the Yankees should go for and what's available, I want someone who, when I look at a Vegas odds, I go, Vegas, Who has odds to win a Cy Young Award year after year, consistency? And these five to seven names come up that might win a possible Cy Young Award because Vegas and Major League Baseball and Scout says this guy has great stuff. You get names like Dylan Cease on there. You get names like Corbin Burns. You even get even Shane Bieber at a time, you know. Those are the kind of names that I want to see. Even Blake Snell. He's a name that will come up on a Cy Young Award odds. You will get odds on him winning a Cy Young Award. You know, I'm going top seven, and I'm going to even appease you, top 10 possibilities of winning a Cy Young Award in Major League Baseball, either in 2023, 2024, or maybe we could go even back as 2022. Let's play that game. Who and if those names are available, Chris, for the Yankees via trade or free agency, you gotta kick the tires, listen, and make your due diligence on should you bring him and does he make a good fit to your ball club. That's why I bring case in point Dylan Cease, Corbin Burns. If you want to give up and go after those guys, I'd rather have them a proven commodity because Vegas told me they could pitch in the Major League Baseball and they're going to win one of the highest honors in Major League Baseball as a pitcher on your ball club. Than someone who's never pitched before in the Major League Baseball and you're giving him over $300 million. That's why I was never in favor of getting Yamamoto. And I've said it many times, not because they were burned today here on the 22nd and he chose the Dodgers. Chris knows, and I've said it many times, even on the live stream before the season ended, I'm not interested in Yamamoto. I've said it, and because I have a funny feeling. That's all it is. I could be totally wrong, and you could come back and say, and listen, if he wins two Cy Young Awards in 5 years in the Major League Baseball, I'll definitely, you know what? I'll eat the crow. I'll even say I was totally wrong. Boy, I don't know crap about sports, and I will admit it, but I don't think it's going to happen. I just have that conviction. That's just a conviction. Do you like what's out there? I said Corbin Burns. Give me Corbin Burns.
I mean, free agent wise, like I said, if it ain't Snell, I'm sorry, I don't want nobody else. If it ain't Snell, I don't want nobody else. Trade wise, there is a lot more out there. I mean, like you said, they got Corbin Burns, Shane Bieber, Cease. Then you got the Miami Marlins. And look, speaking of the Giants, now this is just a rumor, but it 9 out of 10 times is probably true. The rumor is that if the Giants get Snell, they are willing to trade the young lefty, Kyle Harrison. He's 22 years old. I don't know why would they do that, but
why would they do that?
Yeah, I just don't know. I mean, maybe because Snell's a lefty and he's a little bit more proven, maybe. That's the only thing I could think of. But you got to look at stuff like that. Then Houston is dangling, what's his name? The 30-year-old, that's good. I think he's a lefty.
Not Valdez.
Yeah, yeah, Valdez. They dangling him.
Huh.
So there's pitchers out there that you could trade for. And Valdez is good. So it can't be no, oh, no, Houston. No. Houston probably is trying to recoup some of the money that they spent, you know, and then they still got to, you know, in a year or two, still got to extend Kyle Tucker. So that's probably what they're thinking. But okay. I'm going to keep saying this because I'm at Blake. And at one point you did like him. Yes. But it's Bieber to me. And you can trade for Class A. So you kill two birds with one stone.
I agree. Especially, and Chris, I agree with you. I always liked the Shane Bieber. I thought he's been, although he is not the number one or even number two right now, but the Yankees right now, really, they actually need a number two starter. A proven number two starter, but who could actually slide down to a number three. And I know I'm going to sound like Omar Minaya when he did that. We need a number one, then we really need number five, you know. Those that get it, get it. But we don't know. Rodon is a big mystery. We don't know if he's going to come back strong, healthy. He might have issues. He might just not get his footing correctly in New York. Hopefully we're wrong. Hopefully he bounces back lovely, you know, makes me look foolish. Like I said, you know, I think it was a bad mistake. I hope. I want Rodon to work out. As much as I don't say, I was correct, I want him to work out. Because you know what? Enough already. We need a strong, reliable pitching, and we need it to move forward. Nestor Cortez is another wild card. I think he's going to be fine, too. Another lefty, I think he's going to be fine. I think it was just a hangover, too many innings, getting his body acclimated, getting ready. I like the Shane Bieber coming to New York because Terry Francona is no longer the manager for the Guardians. He's retired. You have a new manager. I don't know if Chernoff, the general manager, is going to stick around as general manager with the Guardians after the season. They're in a transition stage. They're going to need more prospects. Some of the prospects that they have good pitching prospects, but some of their hitting prospects haven't panned out for the major league level for them. You know, Gonzalez is no longer there. They thought he was big. Fermín Reyes didn't work out for them, who was supposed to be this big bopper for them in that middle of the lineup. They need outfield help. Bieber Class A might get you, and this is what I ask Yankee fans. I know we have to give up some of our prospects to bring in something bigger, big like this back in a blockbuster with the Guardians. It might take that. Maybe a Spencer Jones. And I know everyone says, Spencer Jones, he looks, 6'10". This guy's 6'10", man, from the left side. I would love to hold on to him, but if we're looking to go for it, where we're going to get a bona fide closer in Class A who could throw over 101 miles an hour with a Bieber who's a number three starter, with reuniting with Matt Blake, where he won a Cy Young Award as his pitching coach, and he knows how to mechanic-wise help him get him and go in there, Chris, that sounds so enticing. I know Peraza might be – you might have to give up your one Peraza and maybe two of your top 10 minor league players to attain those two in a blockbuster. Maybe some other stuff for some money. But that's enticing, Chris.
Yeah, I mean, you might not even have to give up Spencer Jones. I mean, you still got Everson Pereira. You know, he's up there in our top 10.
Yes.
So, I mean, you never know. But you got to do it because even though Shane Bieber was going to be a free agent after next year, Class A still got 5 years of control. That's a lot of control for a closer.
Yeah. You agree? I agree with that. Because you killed, like you said, we go to one. It's kind of like a one stop shop to go get that. Go get the closer and a starter. And if you want, you know, and then go. What about if you lose Peraza and Everson Pereira? you could always go get a third baseman on a 1-year deal. Like I saw Turner's name thrown out there, but it's like I've already been burned with Josh Donaldson. I'm afraid of bringing that 35-year-old plus to play third base that you're like, you know, that's the only thing that gives me a little bit of my hairs in the back of my neck just stand with that. But that's what'll be interesting with the Guardians if they want to pivot and do that for Francona. Now, let's talk about the Milwaukee Brewers. They have a first-year manager coming in there. The Brewers always are around in that division to possibly get in to win the division, fight for that wild card. They're going to be competitive, but with the emergence of the Cincinnati Reds and Pittsburgh, you could tell Pittsburgh is going to be another bottom dweller. You know, they didn't do nothing. They haven't spent. They haven't spent to improve their club. They're bringing back the same product again. The Cubs, they try to get better, but they right now, they're losing Stroman. Stroman's not returning. They're losing pieces on their team. My point is, of all this exercise with St. Louis, I think Brewer fans, Brewer Nation, or Brewer management want to give a winning product to their new manager, get them on a good foot, and I think they'll hold Burns. I think Burns will be a trading deadline piece. What's your think? You think, because they say you could get more before the season start, which is true, but I think they want to go into the season to try to set their manager in the right direction. I don't know. That's just me.
I mean, I'll say this, and the first person I brought this up was Uncle Ted from Pinstripe Chronicle. He said he could see Burns as the Luis Castillo of the trade deadline, which
he's correct.
I mean, yeah, like y'all might be right. And speaking of Pittsburgh, everybody knows Pittsburgh ain't gonna do nothing besides Pittsburgh. I'll say this: y'all not going nowhere. I'm sorry. Trade David Bednar, please.
They're not doing it. They need something. They need people at least to get. They need something there to at least get people to their club, to their stadium. I know Bert, and they need Bednar. They have Cruz. Is it Cruz? O'Neill Cruz?
O'Neill Cruz.
They have Cruz.
Keep Ryan Hayes.
They got the one guy that everybody was going bananas last year. The Brian Reynolds.
Brian Reynolds. Yeah.
They got something there. They're gonna field something there. And they're hoping that some of these kids just take a next step. Pittsburgh, I don't think Pittsburgh will make a move there. Now, if they're really dog bad, could you see a Bednar at the trading deadline be move? Of course. You know, everyone says that at off-season trades, they should move it. But just think about this, Chris. Everybody has a clean slate. Everybody is 0-0 right now. Everybody has a chance to win the World Series right now. Every team. Even, you know, so why would you move some players right now where they could, you know, some of those might be delusional, like, you know, some of the players, you know, Pittsburgh think them, you know, you never know. Baseball's funny. My point, you know, no one expected the Arizona Diamondbacks to get to where they were last year, how deep they ran. And remember, this is a team that finished way below the Dodgers. So, Lamario, what's going on, Lamario? Salute.
What's up, Lamario?
Yeah, so that's why I say that. Now, let's go to the White Sox. First and foremost, before the winter meetings going on, the GM meetings and the owner meetings, they said they weren't trading Dylan Cease. Now his name is coming up again. Is this the media pushing something, or you think there's a change of heart in Chicago?
I think they're trading Cease.
Okay.
Like a rebuild, they definitely rebuild. I mean, they're not bringing back, you know, Tim Anderson. If you look at their pitching staff, they had Dylan Cease, Lucas Giolito, and Carlos Rodon. Two of those are already gone. So, I mean, why not try to trade Cease and see what you can get?
That's another one. And, you know, that's not going to cost the Yankees a lot of prospect. You're going to lose maybe a good Everson Pereira. And maybe a someone in your top 10, in your 10, like a 10 class A type of pitcher or prospect there. You know, it's not going to take, be honest with you, to bring in, to get a Cease to New York. It just makes me wonder with the White Sox, why? They're spinning the wheels. They, That's all. And that's not for us to worry about because we're not White Sox fans. We couldn't care less. Just give me the player to me. And that's something, that's my problem sometimes. I'm trying to put myself in the, like on the other side of the shoes. Like I told you before, with Yamamoto, why would the Japanese league let go of a 25-year-old prominent player to come to the major leagues and not hold him for another 5 more years and let him come in here right before he's 29, before he turns 30? And let him, you know, finish his twilight in the major leagues. I just thought it was a little. I just looked the other side, but for the White Sox, why would you let go of Cease, man? That's like the only ace there in a central division where they could be right into it. You see, they were flirting. Was it the year before that they were right there?
Yeah.
It's. Those are the questions I put up, and I maybe I overthink. Hello, Maria. Maria joining us on the
Instagram app.
Macy says, hello, good friends, and a Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas to you, Maria.
Merry Christmas, Maria. But I don't know if it's just me, and this is where Cashman needs to get creative. There is somebody that I would want from the White Sox, and a lot of people brought him up. He's young. He's a lefty. He's a power arm lefty. I brought this up on my video, too. If you're going to get Cease, you might as well get the best bullpen help that they got, too. And that's Garrett Crochet.
Okay, Crochet. Yeah, I remember you mentioned his name before during the regular season as well. Again, that's another one-stop shop. I even throw this in here. I know he's been underachieving with the White Sox. Mojica at third base. You get another
Makata.
Young...
Makata. Yeah.
You could put Makata into third base, and if you want to make a real blockbuster, you know, if you get Makata, you bring in Cease, and you said Crochet, maybe you might want to get rid of, maybe you might want to include a Spencer Jones in that deal, and with a Peraza, and you talk about that because then you got something there, you know, because you have a third baseman now, a young third baseman who's been a proven major league hitter. Peraza might be a better defensive third baseman, but he's not the hitter as Makata. And I don't know. That's what you call a major blockbuster move. And if the Yankees do that and they stay pat and maybe get a sign a reliever like a Jordan Hicks, you're going. That's a good team. Listen, the teams that have gone to the World Series, if you look at it, it's been hitting teams. And you need clutch hitting, you need timely hitting, you need good hitting team and a strong bullpen. And I know the days of the starting – look, the Atlanta Braves had the best starting pitching in you could say in Major League Baseball history, how many World Series they won. Yes. You need good hitters. You need good situational hitters. You don't need a team of home run and mashers. You need good hitting, situational hitting at the right time. And you see that. You saw the Arizona Diamondbacks were a couple games away winning a World Series. A couple games in the series because they played fundamental baseball. If I tell you, can you name me two starting pitchers from the Arizona Diamondbacks right now? I couldn't tell you I can name one. Be honest with you. I can't. I cannot.
Gallen, and I think there's another one named Kelly. I think that's the only two I know.
I can't. And they were National League champions.
And not only that, too, you was talking about the Braves. People also forget that the Phillies had three good pitchers, too. They had Cole Hamels, Cliff Lee, and Roy Halladay all right together, and they didn't win nothing. So...
You do need your new, and doesn't mean that we're going to be tone deaf either and say, no, we don't need you. Yes, Yankees do need pitching. Baseball, you need pitching. Yes, you need reliable pitchers that throw the baseball every 5 days. Will Starr, salute Will Starr.
What's up,
How
Will?
How are you, Will? Yes, we're discussing that as we speak right now, Mr. Will. We're actually putting a little bit of Christmas wish here. Thank you for joining Chris's channel, and we appreciate it. And all here on the Sports Jedi Network. Chris, that's your guy there. You want to answer his question?
Yeah, I got you. Let me look at it because I'm on the phone. Chris, what's up, bro? Any rumors on what's cooking with the Yankees? I mean, they are talking to the White Sox with Cease. They were doing that before the whole Yamamoto situation. So a lot of people want Cease, But you can't just, like I say, you can't just ask for seats. You got to see if you can, try to get one of their bullpen pieces too. Because a lot of these teams that we're talking about, you can get a starter and a bullpen piece. You might as well do it. Try to kill two birds with one stone.
Yeah, right now nothing has been rumored by any of the beat writers or reporters. We're just speaking amongst ourselves about, where could they pivot, what names could be involved and stuff like that. We're just giving, I guess you could say, our wish list of who we would like here. Now that we found out the news that, Festivus came early for the Dodgers and the Yankees missed out on Yamamoto here. We also talked about Corbin Burnes and a few seconds ago, another name that's been rumored to the Yankees a lot. Also, we also spoke about Shane Beaver with Class A names out there. Yes, we are thinking they're going after more starters. Steven, salute Steven. Thank you for joining us.
What's up, Steven?
I guess we could say I personally myself do not want to see Montgomery back.
No.
I personally don't want to see it. He doesn't, he can handle New York, but I think it's better for him to go on another place into another canvas, not repaint on the same canvas again. That's just my opinion. I know we could agree.
I agree. After what Cashman said about the whole pitcher thing
if they pull that out,
that's sexy. And look,
will let him go.
And I don't like bringing color and stuff like that. But him, with the African American baseball players, they're so limited. He's good. Cause usually when he pitches against us, he kills us.
He's so young and controllable.
Yeah.
Beaver.
You're the first person to bring that up, Will.
Yes, you're the first person. That's the first person that see that name thrown out because I didn't think to me, it's like a pipe dream. Not a pipe dream. Anything can happen. I'm calling it as a long shot. That's a better one instead of a pipe dream. That's a long shot because, be honest with you, he talk about marketing and the electricity that he will bring for the Yankees. But I don't think the Cleveland Guardians, why would you? That's a face you could market and build around with him there. Man, but you know what? That's very intriguing. Good. You talk to me. Talk to me, Will.
And Will. I'm gonna do some more research on Tristan because, like I said, when me and Kev did games against Cleveland, he would dominate us. And I got to do more research on him because I wanna see what he throws and how he moves when it comes to certain pitches and stuff like that because he's good.
Right. And we said Snell and Corbin. We mentioned Steven, Chris likes Snell, but on the amount of years that he's going to be available with the Yankees. Me, again, I say the same thing. Chris, were like you said 5 years, right? 5 years?
Yeah, 5 years. I ain't going nowhere past five.
I'm going to go one But what do you want for a year? What are you giving him for a year? If you were general manager, 5 years.
Since he won two Cy Young, he's got to get a little bit more than Carlos Rodon. I mean, that's only fair.
I got you.
Carlos is making 27, so I'll give him 28.
Okay, all right. I don't know if he'll take it, but whatever you go, 5 years, 30 per.
Mm-hmm.
With an opt out after 3 years, if he wants to opt out, if he let's say he goes above and beyond, exceeds, he comes to the Yankees, wins a Cy Young award, and his third year he wants to opt out, and capitalize and make a longer term deal elsewhere, or maybe New York isn't for him, if he wants to, that'd be something, 30 for five, you're looking
150.
That's
not too bad though. Because look, it's like the grocery stores and everything, inflation. So it's gonna go up. It's just the point that.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Oh no, because I was about to say the only why I don't mind Snell too is because the last time CC brought up somebody named Garrett Cole, they produced the, and you know, the with the Yankees, and I know him and Snell are real, real close. So okay. I'm just saying, usually, I mean, I know it's only one player, but CC is one for one. Why not to say Snell might do good against with us? And I look at it this way. Yes, he might be in the older side. Yes, he might get 5 years, 150. But if he wins a Cy Young or a championship with us, that contract is worth it.
Let me ask you this. He's 31 years old now. He just turned 31. 5 years from now, he'll be 36. Do you think he's looking for a 6 or 7 year deal? It looks like
that's
he might.
Probably
that's
so,
what's
yeah.
killing me. That's what is the yeah. That's the issue. He's 31 now, looking for that. That's going to be an issue there. Montgomery's also 30 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And but I don't think Montgomery. I don't think he's going to take. Montgomery will probably take the 5 year, the 4 year deal. Not the.
Yeah,
seven.
Yeah, he might. Yeah.
That's the deal.
He might take the five.
And the one thing that I know everyone's the bugaboo about Snell, he doesn't give you length. You know, he's a short inning. You know, but. Like you said earlier, Chris, and we're rehashing a little bit. So those folks that listened to us a little earlier, it's not where we're being redundant. It's that we're getting a lot of nice new friends in the chat, and we want to bring them up to speed on that. And my point is, like Chris said earlier, Chris, you were mentioning about the years, the longevity. Go ahead, finish that. Finish my thought there as we acknowledge the chat.
Yeah, what's up, Ruben? What's up, Donald? Yeah, like we trying to, you know, all the new people that's coming in, we trying to establish what we talked about and what would make sense for the Yankees. I just feel like I'm not going a certain point for Snell. Like I would like him to do the 5 years. I think the money would be right. I just think you might be right. He might be looking for that last big contract. So he might be pushing for that 6 to 7 year. If that's what it takes. I mean, I'm not going past five. I just feel like he doesn't really have a market. Like I said earlier, the Dodgers don't need him. If he wants to go to a loser team, I guess he can go to the Angels, but I highly doubt that. I think the only real threat to me is the Giants, but it seems like nobody wants to take the Giants' money. I don't know why. They've proven they can win. They won more championships in this what, the 20 years than most teams.
Dodgers,
so,
than the Dodgers, than the yeah. mighty, and the mighty Dodgers.
So I can't figure it out. So, and that's just like, well, I don't want to bring this name up because we haven't really talked about him, but Cody doesn't have a marking either.
Cody Bellinger. Right. Cody Bellinger. Yeah. But you know what? I think they were waiting for, again, for, we mentioned it earlier. They were waiting for, mm-hmm. Yamamoto's to be signed as well as Altani. And then everything got settled because one, Shohei was going to set the market for a two-way player or biggest contract. We knew that. And agents were going to use that as a stepping point as well for hitters. And also now with Yamamoto, now agents are going to use that for their pitchers. They know, you know, with, you know, okay, Yamamoto, AVA is going to make $27 million a year for 12 years, the long-term contract. Now, we were heard before years past that agents and Major League Club weren't giving pitchers long-term deals. They were trying because of their breakdown. I'm surprised that all three of the teams yesterday actually went over 10 years. I'm actually surprised the Yankees went 10 years, to be honest with you. I know he's, and I go, and because he was 25 years old. How does that affect pitchers like Snell, who's 31, Montgomery, who's 30? And then think about this, ladies and gentlemen, that you're listening to us in the chat. Next year's free agency crop in pitchers, a little more greater than this year. You got guys like Walker Buehler as a free agent, as well as Wheeler. And of course, I believe Burns might, or Cease. Which one of those two is going to be a free agent?
Burns.
And Burns is going to be Beavers. A free agent.
Yep.
So look at the plethora of high-quality pitchers that are going to be available as free agency. Also, I asked this question, Yankee fans. Are we going to blow our load trying to get starting pitchers now? I know we want to get Soto signed for a long-term deal, but are we going to really go after some of these pitchers that really want to save some money for the big-time names if we can't trade for them, Chris?
Yeah, I mean, you can think like that. That's why, like everybody keeps saying trade for Cease because he has 2 years of control for the cheap. The only reason why I want to trade with Cleveland. It's not just because Shane Beaver with Matt Blake, but Class A. If they really want to trade Class A, why not? We haven't had a close in a while, probably since we got Chapman the first time. So,
Chapman fell on our lap because of that incident. Yeah. He was on his way gone to, I think he was going to be a Dodger, if I'm not mistaken, before he did that incident. That just fell on the Yankees' lap. Will, let me ask you this, Will. Would you mind seeing Frankie Montas on a one-year deal? You know, Severino's money, $13, $14 million. Or anyone in the chat, Donald, you know, anyone that's listening to us. What do you think? They're going to save money for Soto, but you got to worry about it. Soto is going to test the free agency. I don't think he's even going to entertain a contract extension. Not Boris. Boris don't do that. I mean, you know.
Well, people also got to realize, too, for special occasions, Boris will listen to his client about an extension, because he done it with some players. But to say that y'all weren't about the money situation, y'all also got to realize, too, that we have $100 million coming off the books. And then they was about to spend $300 with Yamamoto. So trust me, we got money for Soto. That's not going to be the problem.
I think if I'm the Yankees right now, I offer a 12-year, $540 million contract for Soto. That's $45 million.
That's a good deal.
That's $45 million right there on the, you know, per season. I mean,
that's a good deal. And you also got to do this too, Kev. You don't want to have that Judge situation. I'm not saying extend Soto right now. Wait till maybe the All-Star game and see if you can convince him. You do not want, because I'm telling you right now, he wins the MVP. And God forbid if we win the World Series and he's producing, that 540 is going to go up.
Yeah,
and because you do not want that.
Let's look in a crystal ball. Let's play the hypothetical. Juan Soto comes to New York. He wins the MVP of the American League. Yankees get in the postseason. I'm going to leave it there to be determined. Coming off of American League MVP, you know he's minimum. He's going to get 12 years, $55 million. That's $660 million for Juan Soto if he does win an MVP with the Yankees, because he did it in the world, in the biggest market. Mm-hmm. I don't know if he gets that from the Mets.
I don't think he wants to go to the Mets.
I don't know because...
I think if he does go to the Mets, I think Cohen would be crazy, and I feel like he'll offer him a 12-year, $700 million deal. And I feel like he'll take that.
That'd be crazy.
It won't be like Ohtani. I think it really would be $700
million. $58 million a year. I mean, he could push 60, because that's what they were talking about. $60 million, you know, it looks, yeah, he could see that.
And he gave Scherzer 50 a year?
Just remember
this. And that's just a pitcher.
Just remember this. The New York Mets, Steve Cohen, and this is those that live in New York, around the Willis Point area, around where Shea Stadium used to be, where Citi Field is, they're rebuilding all that. They're gonna put possibly casinos. They're up taking it. They need a face. They need people, and that will sell itself. But if you have a face like Juan Soto, then best. So people, you know, an attraction. Come to the ballpark. You know, go to the casinos. XYZ. They're building their reconstruction, and you have a Juan Soto. And one thing that us Latinos like to do, we like to gamble a little bit. We like to go out there and play, and there's casinos in Shea, in Citi Field. I keep calling Shea, so I'm an old relic, so forgive me, fellas. You know, and they come out to Citi Field, and that's a marketing ploy. Got to be careful with that. If you're the Yankees, I will try to get into some contract talk. But I think Boris, I don't know. Hopefully they can.
I think if they offer him like a deal that's like, goddamn, we can't walk away. Because what if Soto gets hurt type situation? I feel like he would sign the extension. But you got to come correct, though. You can't just be like, Soto, look, hey, you want this 12-year 420 deal? He going to look at you like, no.
And I like what you said there, Will. Jason Dominguez and Juan Soto are the future, keeping them together. Hopefully they can get along. If we don't remember, we also had two Dominican players in San Diego that couldn't get along, according to report in Tatis and Soto. I'm not saying that. I'm hoping that they get along, that they, you know, become besties, they become great friends, and you know, they rally one another with the you know, I don't know. Sometimes something, you know, there's a saying in Spanish, you can't have two male crabs in one cave because they go too many alpha dogs. Hopefully they get along. I'm not saying Dominguez is alpha dog, but I think they'll get along. But you know, you gotta just
keep that eye open. I want to say this too. They didn't have Aaron Judge neither. I'm sorry, Soto. Judge is what? Almost 6'9"?
6'10".
Like, come on. I'm sorry. I like you, Soto, but this Judge's team, hopefully, I don't think it's Soto though. I think Dominguez and Soto is gonna get along well.
And also I forgot about Machado. There was
three. Yeah, Machado. And then you had Bogarts too, another Hispanic player. And I felt like that was just too many, because like you said, like one of them wanted to be the alpha dog, and it seemed like it was Machado. So that's probably why Dominguez wasn't really mad leaving the Padres.
Soto,
yeah. So I think them two are gonna work out fine. Cause
I think so too. I'm just putting it out there.
I think Gleyber, even though this is his, you know, his walk here, I think him watching Soto, I think he's gonna improve his game.
I'm glad you mentioned him. You know, I've said it before. I want to see Gleyber this year with a walk year. You know what I always say. Chris knows what I'm going to say. And for all our new friends that are watching us through Chris' channel, of course, we're doing a collaboration with both our channels here. I've said nothing motivates a major league player or even NBA or any professional athlete when you're about to get that bag, about to get paid, make that generational changing money. They always tend to have a career year. I kind of want to see if Gleyber Torres get back to what we thought he was with the Yankees, even if he walks, ladies and gentlemen, even if he leaves next year and the Yankees have no interest of signing him whatsoever and he has a monster year, I want to take advantage of that because we know we have Peraza. We have people in the pipeline that could play that position. We have a plethora of talent to store there. I kind of would like to see what Gleyber does on a walk year with all that talent around him in the lineup.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you.
We got a Dodger fan. All right. Hopefully you win something now. World Series since 1988, man. Because I don't count that COVID one.
Why you don't count that, man?
Look, it's only 60 games.
I'm telling you right now. We won that. I'm counting it.
Even the Yankees would have won. There was no fans to boo or cheer. And the fans make a big part of the game, man, of nerves and
if I see a ring, it counts for me.
Hey, not all rings are gold, man. They could be that look at that one that makes your finger green.
That's you talking about
that,
Fugazi?
Yeah, that's a Fugazi. That's a Fugazi title.
Oh, man.
The same thing. Look at the Lakers. They won a Fugazi title. LA is the Fugazi town anyway. They won a Fugazi. They won a Fugazi NBA title. They won a Fugazi in-season tournament. They won a Fugazi World Series. Come on, man. Forget about it.
I don't even want to talk about that. I'm sorry. I agree with Shaq on this. Why did they put a banner up? That is so...
He's just mad they didn't put Papa John's as a sponsor. Next.
Oh, man. But no, man. You can't celebrate an in-season. Man, get out of here with that.
Alonzo, this is all tongue in cheek. I know. I hope you know. Well, we'll keep it going. It's all tongue in cheek. I just want to be the contrarian, the lightning rod on the podcast. So hopefully you're not taking it too hard. You know, it takes a lot for a professional team to win a World Series, a Major League World Series, NBA title, Super Bowl. It's something special because you're beating the best of the best. No, it's not salty. I'm being a contrarian because that's what I want to get, that salty reaction from you. That's right. That's exactly what you got. That's called playing to the audience, to the crowd. So thank you, Alonzo. We appreciate seeing you there.
Yeah, and like we said earlier, like I'm not hating on the Dodgers. I'm happy. I mean, like I said, this is what the Yankees used to be. Well, besides the referral money part, but the spending money part, Yankees used to do that. So I can't get mad about that. And the Mets definitely can't get mad.
I told you it's fun, but it's fair. It's the rules.
Yeah, it's the rules.
You can't beat the rules. I'm one of the ones that don't want a salary cap in Major League Baseball. I don't want no salary cap. I think it ruins sports. I think, you know, that's why the Knicks and the Giants and the Jets can't win shit, because the damn salary cap prohibits New York from or the mid-market teams to actually playing, you know, getting the right players. You know, I don't want no salary cap. I wish there was no salary cap in football and basketball, to be honest with you.
And fans need to realize, too, it wasn't the Dodgers that came up with this. It was actually Ohtani and his
people. Smart. That was smart.
Yeah.
That's smart. I'm not hating on the deferring stuff.
No.
To be honest with you, that's smart. Because I told you when we did our stream earlier, we did a stream about that. Because California got some nasty taxes. Mm-hmm. And that's also a reason why a lot of these players don't really want to come to some of these markets. It's those damn taxes. That's where San Francisco, they got a lot of money, but there's a bad reputation and a stigma with San Francisco. They have some beautiful parts. You're not really, if you got money, you're not going to be in the nasty slum parts of San Francisco. But driving through the city, you kind of see that kind of stuff. It kind of depresses a little bit. But, would you trade Spencer Jones? This one caught my head here. Spencer Jones for Luis Arraez from the Marlins.
Ooh. Hell yeah. If Marlins is, I'm just saying this. If Marlins wants a trade, no, he's still on the team. I don't know how many years he got left, but
okay, that's a good one.
That would be a good replacement.
I kind of would like to dangle Spencer Jones to try to get for one of the pitchers. But if you could, man,
and he could replace Gleyber. So if you could trade Gleyber to them and get one of their pitchers for Gleyber. I mean, why not? I mean, he's a leadoff hitter too, and we need that.
And a third baseman.
Yeah.
That could play second base as well. Yeah. I mean, that's a good one there. That was a good one there. That's a good one. This is what I like about the interaction with the chat. When we get the interaction with the chat, that we see the different names that we didn't even think about at the moment. And you know, great minds. And of course, we listen to everyone in the chat. Even if you're a Dodger fan and, you know, you come in and even, you know, even if you're from another team, we acknowledge the chat. We don't ignore the chat. We make you part of the program. We are an audience. You know, we are a chat participation program here. You know, this is what I love about this channel or our platforms. Like other places, that's everybody's prerogative. You could be writing in the chat forever with some good points and the hosts don't even acknowledge it. They totally ignore it. Not here. Not on the Sports Jedi Network, at least. And of course, when I work with Chris the Flash, when he comes on and we collaborate, we don't ignore the chat. We love to hear from the chat. And thank you again.
And I'm not going to poo-poo, you know, I'm not going to poo-poo y'all stuff neither. Like, I'm not going to be like, oh, that ain't realistic. He's not on the trade block.
We'll listen.
You gotta realize, if you give up your best prospects to a certain team that a player that's untouchable, trust me, 9 out of 10 times, the team will trade that untouchable player. They have to be blown away. It's realistic.
Chris, what did Ted DiBiase? Of course, I do wrestling, so are you going to get a lot of wrestling?
Yeah.
You're meeting me for the first time. I do a lot of wrestling. Yeah. And that was classic heel earlier, becoming a heel. What does DiBiase say? Everyone has a price.
Yep.
Everyone's got a price. Every team, and also like the Godfather, I made him an offer he can't refuse. I mean, everyone, even for the Yankees, I mean, it goes vice versa either way. Everyone has a price. There's always a situation where you got to listen. And that's the smart thing in everything. If you're running a club, you have to listen to all and hear all the proposals. Doesn't mean you have to agree to it. That's all. I mean, I would love Luis Arraez as that
leader. Know.
My God, because – and if you could move Torres in that deal and you give him and something and bring a rise here. That'd be great. But I don't know if the Marlins will give up a rise for Flores, man. But Jones, I think so.
Yeah.
I think so. Because it's a prominent player where they're going to bring in, they're going to put in and plug in and play in the outfield. And if he's that big and marketable, think about the marketability on Spencer Jones, the big guy out there playing in the outfield. That's like getting another Giancarlo Stanton, but younger. I feel like Cashman is going to pull off a blockbuster. Dodgers got in his ego.
I hope.
This team is far from done.
Yeah.
I think
people keep forgetting about this too, Kev. Spencer mm-hmm. Jones actually pitched too. So if you need, you know how they bring in positional players, you know, just to be pitching, he can give you an inning or two. I'm just saying.
Never thought about that.
Yeah. And apparently he's working at first too, just in case we have too many outfielders. Apparently right. he's doing some first base work.
But think about it. At 6'10" at first base, what? And if he's flexible and what a target there. And he could mm-hmm. pull out the scoop, but he's not as stiff like Giambi. Although Giambi was good at picking the baseball out of the dirt, but he was a little bit of a stiff. But if this guy has a little bit of flexibility at 6'10" and nothing could get by him, you know, on the picks and stuff, what a weapon to have
mm-hmm.
at first base. I mean, my goodness. That'd be phenomenal situation there. Don't forget the Yankees got three catchers, and with Luis Trevino coming back up for surgery, of course the young catcher. There's the lefty.
Wells.
Austin Wells. There you go. I mm-hmm. just thought of playing. And of course you got Ben Roughneck. Now, Ben was supposed to be the apple of the eye, was the big center on that trade for kind of Falalefa and Donaldson, that disaster. Could you see Cashman including a catcher to a team that might need a catcher to bring something back?
Guess who needs a catcher?
Who needs a catcher? Who?
The Marlins.
Ah, I think I see how I could, another assist. I told you I was going to set mm-hmm. you up. Point guard.
So, I mean, and technically, even though we had three in the majors, we actually got five on the 40-man. So we got to trade one of them. We have to trade one of them. So, I don't know. It does make sense with the Marlins. Marlins looking for a bat. They looking for a catcher. I mean, never know.
The only thing that I'm a little worried, no longer Kim Yim as a general manager making those decisions with the Marlins, where you had a good relationship with Cashman and Kim Yim, mm-hmm. you know, to try to make a move and say, look, I got players in your position of need, and talk to me. Who do you see that financially your team is not going to keep long term? That relationship is not there; it's severed because Kim Yim is no longer part of the Marlins. I don't know what the relationship with the new general manager of the Marlins and Brian Cashman, if there is a working relationship. But again, these things get talked over dinner, golf course, yada, yada, in a strip club, at Tootsie's. You never know. You know, you never know what could be hashed out there. Hey, there's a famous one that it was over scotch. There was a major trade done on a napkin between Ted Williams and Joe DiMaggio. I mean, you never, you know, so the legend continues. You never know what these deals could get done, Chris. I know the Yankees were rumored for Jorge Soler, and I know you said, why?
Yeah.
They have a lot
unless they know something we don't know about Giancarlo Stanton, that he's hurt and he won't be ready. It still doesn't make sense to me because, I mean, you got four outfielders, plus you still got Everson Pereira, and you still got Floreal, which we still don't know what they're going to do with him because he's a free agent, but I don't know.
And it shows
they got to make some moves.
It was funny because Floreal wasn't picked in a Rule 5 draft. If he was really – and I don't think there's a value with Floreal because a team would have picked him up to play on the Rule 5 to bring him aboard. Of course, the Rule 5, if he makes the club, either you keep him on the roster or you send him back to New York, you know, that's the rule, or back to the team original grabbed in the Rule 5 draft. But I'm surprised that, like you said, he's still on that roster.
where you either sink or swim, and I'm surprised on that. And the Yankees keep adding more outfield depth. We talked about the two Gonzalez that they bought from the Guardians, as well as the one they invited for spring training from San Francisco, Luis Gonzalez. You know, so Oscar Gonzalez and Luis Gonzalez, they both here. They're trying to bring in depth for outfielders because, remember, they fell short. You know, I don't want to see another year. And thank God he's not here no more. But Willie Calhoun, I mean, my goodness. That was painful.
And people keep dissing Jake Bowers and stuff like that. Yes, he wasn't a good outfielder.
No, he was serviceable.
But he was a hell of a first baseman. Fuzz, and he was still hitting, so I was like, that's why we got two prospects for him with the Milwaukee Brewers. I mean, people was like, oh, how Cashman pulled that off, because Bowers was actually pretty decent for us. Y'all just worried about his defense in the outfield, and y'all didn't really see the whole entire game that he played.
No, he was good. And McKinney, no longer that, and they brought him back, and they traded him
and
they
got some value.
Yeah. And McKinney played okay, but these guys, you know, the Yankees still finished 82-80, despite the fact that we were frustrated and we were bothered with them, and that wasn't the usual showing. But these guys played all right. It's just we knew exactly what happened last season. We all saw the movie, we saw the season, how it played out. Any other out of the box players that we could see here? I think most of the stuff here with these teams, some of these pitchers that are going to be free agents next winter, we just got to keep an eye out on the All-Star break. If the teams start going in the south direction, those are the names that are going to be pushed for trades.
Well, watch out for one name, because apparently he might be unhappy. It's Logan Gilbert from the Seattle Mariners. He's young. He's a pitcher. He might want to be traded from Seattle. So look out for that name,
Gilbert. Okay, yeah, because I was looking at some of these teams. We're not going to trade with anyone in the East. I mean, although we didn't think we were going to trade with the Red Sox. We got Verdugo, and not for nothing, a name that we have not spoken one bit, and watch him come to the New York Yankees, ladies and gentlemen, make the club in spring training, and be a really good off the bench energy player.
Peter
Downs.
Yep.
Jeter Downs will probably end up being the Yankee utility, the jack of a trade, playing third, playing second when they need speed, base running from and a glove in the infield. I wouldn't be surprised if they unlock something for Jeter Downs. That's the type of move Cashman gets and finds and brings on the team, and it flourishes. I wouldn't be surprised one bit.
And I want to bring 2 points to that too. Mm-hmm. Verdugo, I'm sorry, Boston, you're in trouble. He's pissed.
He's gonna be a badass for the Yankees. I'm excited.
And looks like the Yankees won the Mookie Betts trade because we got two people out there trading.
Jeter Downs and Verdugo.
Yeah.
And listen to this though. The dude already shaved. He didn't even have to shave yet. He didn't have to wait to go the first day of spring training. The dude is brought on in. The dude looks like He said he was, you know, his mom loved it, the way he looked. I mean, I heard that press conference because I told you I kind of like Verdugo. I told you when he was with the Red Sox, I was like, you know what, damn, Verdugo is a pretty smooth player, man, left-handed. And I remember I didn't think he was going to be a Yankee. And you could I don't know which watch along it was, because we do most of the watch along. We did about 75% last year and 95 the year before, and then maybe another 95 the year before that. The point is, we do a lot of watch alongs. And I remember saying when we're doing the Yankee Boston games before, we were like, man, I would love to see Verdugo. I mean, never happened, because I think they were teasing that, right? They teasing Verdugo's name.
Yeah, him and Gleyber. Yes.
And I was like, man, I would have loved Verdugo to Yankee Stadium. And I had a little bit of an eye and a little apple in my eye there with Verdugo. And when that trade happened, I was really excited, to be honest with you, because I think it's going to work in Yankee Stadium. Left-handed bat. He's a gap hitter, line drive to me. And I'm not – guys, do not ridicule me. But this is like a Paul O'Neill type of move. I'm not saying he's going to be Paul O'Neill. But he's going to be that type of move, that impact player, gap to gap, you know, who's going to give it all, feisty, because he's feisty. We saw him with the fans. He's gonna go right away first game in Yankee Stadium. He's gonna indulge himself to the creature. He's gonna make amends, and he's gonna be a fan favorite. Guarantee you, Verdugo's gonna be a fan favorite.
And Kev, because you said Paul O'Neill. Well, let's go a little bit more recent. 2009 championship team. Who you remind you of?
Nick the Dick Swisher.
And look what happened. And fans love Nick Swisher. So I can see that.
You gotta give his middle name, the Dick Swisher.
Oh man.
But anyways, yeah, we'll see. Listen, we're gonna end the stream here. Of course, Chris, we're gonna get some lunch, and we gotta come back on for some wrestling. So if you like wrestling, we do wrestling watch-alongs here, the WWE SmackDown version, and then tomorrow afternoon at 12 o'clock, we'll have a Knicks watch-along. New York Knicks take on the Milwaukee Bucks at the Festivus, and then of course Christmas Day on the Sports Jedi Network, we have our annual watch along for the New York Knicks as well. And of course, Chris the Flash of doing all different videos and different updates as well. So thank you, Will Star. We appreciate it, man. I hope we see you there more on Chris's channel here as well. And if you like basketball and other ones, come check us out. But always get your Yankee notes and notes from Chris the Flash. Always. And thank you for all the likes. Make sure to like and share and subscribe to Chris and Sports Jedi Network. And we appreciate it. Happy holidays, man. Merry Christmas to you. Chris, close it out, buddy.
All right. If y'all not subscribed to Kevin Jedi Sports, he's a great Yankee content creator. He got me started. He lets me, you know, not even just like a panelist or whatever. Like, he lets me say what I need to say, and he doesn't judge what I say neither. I just feel like he just doesn't just talk about the Yankees neither. I mean, he talks about the Jets, the Knicks, the Giants. He talks about wrestling if you like wrestling. Am I missing anything? Oh, his son does MMA sports with Chef Dan. That's good. I joined that program. They let me hop on that. Like, he trust me, this would be the person y'all would want to subscribe to when it comes to every national sport or combat sport or boxing. He's good at what he does. So give him a listen, y'all, and I promise y'all won't make the wrong decision.
Appreciate that, Chris. And Chris is part of the channel. He's not just a panelist that comes on as a guest. And when we do a stream, he's there as he's part of our calls. He has a voice. And like, you guys have a voice in the comments. We always tell you guys, whatever you write in the comments, we highlight it. We listen to your voice. And if you love to be a panelist, we would love to have you on here. As long, you know, just reach out to us on either via the email or in the social media accounts in a private link. I don't like to put the link in the chat, due to the fact that we, you know, you could get anyone come on with, you know, certain people will come on and they will come on with a X-rated video, and the minute the AI equipped, you know, from YouTube picks it up and it becomes third party, and your channel gets with a strike or gets shut down or even canceled, and we cannot have that. So that's why we ask you to put the link in the chat, so we know where we're going to send you and who we send it to, in case we know what happened. So we want to make sure that. So we that's why we love to have you on as a panelist to come and have a conversation. You know, we love to have conversation with other Yankee fans. And you know what? And I try not to be too crowded with like 5, 6. I like to have 3 to maybe 4. And we go have a really good debate and a good conversation. And of course, and that's what the chat gets highlighted. You are part of the conversation. So with that said, man, again, Merry Christmas. We'll be seeing you soon. But there's going to be a lot of Yankee moves. And of course, may the sports be with you. We'll see you next time. Peace out, Yankee fans.